Henrik is here. We have Tom and Max here. They have a talk here with a very complicated title that I don't quite understand yet. It's called Interactively Discovering Implicational Knowledge in Wikidata. And they told me the point of this talk is that I will later understand what it means, and I hope I will. So good luck.
Thank you very much.
And have some applause, please.
Thank you very much. Do you hear me? Does it work? Hello? Oh, very good. Thank you very much, and welcome to our talk about interactively discovering implicational knowledge in Wikidata. It is more or less a fun project we started for finding rules that are implicit in Wikidata, entailed just by the data it has people inserted into the Wikidata database so far. And we will start with the explicit knowledge, so the explicit data in Wikidata with Max.
So, right. What is Wikidata? Maybe you have heard about Wikidata, then that's all fine. Maybe you haven't, then surely you've heard of Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is run by the Wikimedia Foundation, and the Wikimedia Foundation has several other projects, and one of those is Wikidata. And Wikidata is basically a large graph that encodes machine-readable knowledge in the form of statements, and a statement basically consists of some entity that is connected or some entities that are connected by a state by some property, and these properties can then even have annotations on them. So, for example, we have Donna Strickland here, and we encode that she has received a Nobel Prize in Physics last year by this property awarded, and this has then a qualifier time 2018, and also 4 pulse amplification, and all in all, we have some 890 million statements in Wikidata that connect 71 million items using 7,000 properties. So, but there's also a bit more. So, we also know that Donna Strickland has field of work optics and also field of work lasers. So, we can use the same property to connect some entity with different other entities. And we don't even have to have knowledge that connects to entities. We can have her date of birth, which is 1959, yes. And this is then just a plain date and not an entity. And now coming to from the explicit knowledge, then we have some more. We have Donna Strickland has received a Nobel Prize in Physics, and also Marie Curie has received a Nobel Prize in Physics. And we also know that Marie Curie has a Nobel Prize ID that starts with Phys and then 1903 and some random numbers that basically are this ID. And then Marie Curie also has received a Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1911, so she has another Nobel ID that starts with Chem and has 1911 there. And then there's also Frances Arnold, who received a Nobel Prize in Chemistry last year, so she has a Nobel ID that starts with Chem and has 2018 there. And now one could assume that, well, everybody who has awarded a Nobel Prize ID should also have a Nobel Prize ID. And we could write that as some implication here. So awarded Nobel Prize implies Nobel ID. And well, if you look sharply at this picture, then there's this arrow here conspicuously missing that Donna Strickland doesn't have a Nobel Prize ID. And indeed, there's 25 people currently on Wikidata that are missing Nobel Prize IDs, and Donna Strickland is one of them. So and we call these people that don't satisfy this implication, we call those counterexamples. And well, if you look at Wikidata on the scale of really these 890 million statements, then you won't find any counterexamples because it's just too big. So we need some way to automatically do that. And the idea is that, well, if we had this knowledge that, well, some implications are not satisfied, then this encodes maybe missing information or wrong information, and we want to represent that in a way that is easy to understand and also succinct, so it doesn't take long to write it down, should have a short representation, So that rules out anything including complex syntax or logical quantifiers. So no Sparkle queries as a description of that implicit knowledge. No description logics, if you've heard of that. And we also want something that we can actually compute on actual hardware in a reasonable time frame. And, well, so our approach is we use formal concept analysis, which is a technique that has been developed over the past several years, to extract what is called propositional implications, so just logical formulas of propositional logic that are an implication in the form of this awarded Nobel Prize ID implies Nobel ID. And, well, so what exactly is formal concept analysis? Off to Tom.
Thank you. So, what is formal concept analysis? It was developed in the 1980s by a guy called Rudolf Wille and Bernhard Ganter, and they were restructuring lattice theory. Lattice theory is an ambiguous name. In maths, it's two meanings. One meaning is you have a grid and have a lattice there. The other thing is they speak about orders, order relations. So, I like steaks, I like pudding, and I like steaks more than pudding, and I like rice more than steaks. That's an order, right? And lattices are particular orders which can be used to represent propositional logic. So easy rules, like when it rains, the street gets wet, right? So, and the data representation those guys used back then, they called it a formal context, which is basically just a set of objects. They call them objects, it's just a name. A set of attributes and some incidents, which basically means which object does have which attributes. So, for example, my laptop has the color black. So this object has some property, right? So there's a small example on the right for such a formal context. So the objects there are some animals, a platypus, that's the fun animal from Australia, the mammal which is also laying eggs and which is also venomous. Black widow, the spider, the duck, and the cat. So when we see, okay, platypus has all the properties. It has being venomous, laying eggs, and being a mammal. We have the duck, which is not a mammal, but it lays eggs, and so on and so on. And it's very easy to grasp some implicational knowledge here. An easy rule you can find is whenever you endeavor a mammal that is venomous, it has to lay eggs. So this is a rule that falls out of this binary data table. Our main problem then, or at this point, is we do not have such a data table for Wikidata, right? We have the implicit graph, which is way more expressive than binary data, and we cannot even store Wikidata as a binary table. Even if you try to, we have no chance to compute such rules from that. And for this, the people from formal concept analysis proposed an algorithm to extract implicit knowledge from an expert. So our expert here could be Wikidata, it's an expert. You can ask Wikidata questions, right? Using the Sparkle interface. You can ask, is there an example for that? Is there a counterexample for something else? So the algorithm is quite easy. The algorithm is, the algorithm and some expert, in our case, Wikidata. And the algorithm keeps notes for counterexamples and keeps notes for valid implications. So in the beginning, we do not have any valid implications. So this list on the right is empty. And in the beginning, we do not have any counterexamples, so the list on the left, the formal context to build up, is also empty. And all the algorithm does now is, it asks, is this implication, X follows Y, Y follows X, or X implies Y, is it true? So is it true, for example, that an animal that is a mammal and it is venomous lays eggs? So now the expert, which in our case is Wikidata, can answer it. We can query that. We showed in our paper, we can query that. So we query it, and if the Wikidata expert does not find any counterexamples, it will say, okay, that's maybe a true thing. It's yes. Or if it's not a true implication in Wikidata, it can say, no, it's not true, and here's a counterexample. So this is something you contradict by example. You say, this rule cannot be true. For example, when the street is wet, does not mean it has rained, right? It could be in the cleaning service car or something else. So our idea now was to use Wikidata as an expert, but also include a human into this loop. So we do not just want to ask Wikidata, we also want to ask a human expert as well. So we first ask in our tool the Wikidata expert for some rule. After that, we also inquire the human expert, and he can also say, yeah, that's true, I know that, or no, Wikidata is not aware of this counterexample, I know one. Or in the other case, oh, Wikidata says this is true, I'm aware of a counterexample. Yeah, and so on and so on. And you can represent this more or less as, this is just some mathematical picture, it's not very important, but you can see on the left, like, there's an exploration going on, just Wikidata with the algorithm. On the right, an exploration, a human expert versus Wikidata, which can answer all the queries. And we combined those two into one small tool under development. So back to Max.
Okay. So for that to work, we basically need to have a way of viewing Wikidata, or at least parts of Wikidata, as a formal context. And this formal context, well, this was a binary table. So, well, what do? We just take all the items in Wikidata as objects and all the properties as attributes of our context, and then have an incidence relation that says, well, this entity has this property, so it is incident there. And then we end up with a context that has 71 million rows and 7,000 columns. So, that might actually be a slight problem there, because we want to have something that we can run on actual hardware and not on a supercomputer. So let's maybe not do that and focus on a smaller set of properties that are actually related to one another through some kind of common domain. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense to have a property that relates to spacecraft and then a property that relates to books. That's probably not a good idea to try to find implicit knowledge between those two. But, well, two different properties about spacecraft, that sounds good, right? So, and then the interesting question is just, how do we define the incidence for our set of properties? And, well, that actually depends very much on which properties we choose, because it does, for some properties, it makes sense to account for the direction of the statement. So there's a property called parent. It's child, and then there's father and mother. So and you don't want to turn those around. Yes, you want to have A is a child of B. That should be something different than B is a child of A. Then there's the qualifiers that might be important for some properties. So receiving an award for something might be something different than receiving an award for something else. But receiving an award in 2018 and receiving one in 2017, that's probably more or less the same thing. So we don't necessarily need to differentiate that. And there's also a thing called subclasses, and they form a hierarchy on Wikidata. And you might also want to take that into account, because while winning something that is a Nobel Prize, that means also winning an award itself. And winning the Nobel Peace Prize means winning a Peace Prize. So that there's also implications going on there that you want to respect. So and to see how we actually do that, let's look at an example. So we have here, well, this is Donna Strickland, forgot his first name. Eshkin, this is one of the people that won the Nobel Prize in Physics with her last year. And also Gérard Moureau, this is the third one. They all got the Nobel Prize in Physics last year. So we have all these statements here. And these two have a qualifier that says with, and Gérard Moureau here. And I don't think the qualifier is on this statement here, actually. But it doesn't actually matter. So what we've done here is, well, put all the entities in this small graph as rows in the table. So we have Strickland and Muru and Ashken, and also Arnold and Curie that are not in the picture. But, well, you can maybe remember that. And then here we have awarded, and we scale that by the instance of the different Nobel Prizes that people have won. Right, so there's the physics Nobel in the first column, the chemistry Nobel Prize in the second column, and just general Nobel Prizes in the third column. There's awarded, and that is scaled by this with qualifier, so awarded with Gérard Moureau. And then there's field of work, and we have lasers here and radioactivity. So we scale by the actual field of work that people have. And well, then if we look what kind of incidents we get for Donna Strickland, well, she has a Nobel Prize in Physics, and that is also a Nobel Prize, and she has that together with Gérard Moureau. And Well, she has field of work lasers, but not radioactivity. Then Moreau itself, he has a Nobel Prize in physics, and that is a Nobel Prize, but none of the others. Ashkin gets a Nobel Prize in physics, and that is still a Nobel Prize, and he gets that with Gérard Moreau, and also he works in lasers, but not in radioactivity. So Francis Arnold has a Nobel Prize in chemistry, and that is a Nobel Prize. And Marie Curie, she has a Nobel Prize in physics and one in chemistry, and they're both a Nobel Prize. And she also works in radioactivity, but lasers didn't exist back then, so she doesn't get field of work lasers. And then, basically, this table here is a representation of our formal context. So, and then we've actually gone ahead and started building a tool where you can interactively do all these things, and it will take care of building the context for you. You just put in the properties, and, well, Tom will show you how that works.
So here you see some first screenshots of this tool. So please do not comment on the graphic design. We have no idea about that. We have to ask someone about that. We are just into logics, more or less. On the left, you say the initial state of the game. On the left, you have like five boxes. They're called countries and borders, credit cards, use of energy, memory and computation.
Computation, I think, yeah.
And space launches, which are just presets we defined for this you can explore. For example, in the case of the credit card, you can explore the properties from Wikidata, which are called card network, operator, and fee. So you can just choose one of them, or on the right, custom properties, you can just input the properties you're interested in Wikidata, whatever one of the 7,000 you like, or some number of them. On the right, I chose then the credit card thingy, and I now want to show you what happens if you now explore these properties, right? So the first step in the game is that the exploration process will ask, is it true that every entity in Wikidata will have these three properties? So are they common among all entities in your data? Which is most probably not true, right? I mean, not everything in Wikidata has a fee, at least I hope. So what I will do now, I would click the reject this implication button. So in the implication, nothing implies everything is not true. And the second step now, the algorithm tries to find the minimal number of questions to obtain the domain knowledge, so to obtain all valid rules in this domain. So next question is it true that everything in Wikidata that has a card network property also has a fee and an operator property? And down here you can see Wikidata says, okay, there's 26 items which are counterexamples. So there are 26 items in Wikidata which have the card network property, but do not have the other two ones. So 26 is not a big number. This could mean, okay, there's an error, so 26 statements are missing, or maybe that's the true case, that's also okay, but you can now choose what you think is right. You can say, oh, I would say this should be true, or you can say, no, I think that's okay, one of these counterexamples seems valid, let's reject it. I, in this case, rejected it. The next question it asks, is it true that everything that has an operator has also a fee and a card network? Yeah, this is possibly not true. There's also more than 1,000 counterexamples, one being, I think, a telecommunication operator in Hungary or something. So we can reject this as well. Next question, everything that has an operator and a card network, so card network means like Visa, MasterCard, whatever, all this stuff, is it true that they have to have a fee? Wikidata says no, it has 23 items that contradict it, but one of the items, for example, is the American Express Gold Card. I suppose the American Express Gold Card has some fee, so this indicates, oh, there is missing data in Wikidata. There is something that Wikidata does not know, but should know to reason correctly in Wikidata with your Sparkle queries. So we can now say, yeah, that's not a reject, that's an accept, because we think it should be true, but Wikidata thinks otherwise. And you go on. This is then the last question. Is it true that everything that has a fee in the card network should have an operator? And you see, oh, no counterexamples. This means Wikidata says this is true. Wikidata says there is no counterexamples. If you ask Wikidata, it says this is a valid implication in the data set so far, which could also be indicating that something is missing. I'm not aware if this is possible or not, but okay, for me it sounds reasonable. Everything that has a fee in a card network should also have an operator, which means a bank or something like that. So I accept this implication. And then, yeah, you have won the implication game, the exploration game, which essentially means you've won some knowledge. Yeah, thank you. And the knowledge is you know which implications in Wikidata are true or should be true from your point of view. And yeah, this is more or less the state of the game so far as we programmed it in October. And the next state will be to show you some how much does your opinion of the world differ from the opinion that is now reflected in the data. So is what you think about the data true, close to true, to what is true in Wikidata, or maybe Wikidata has wrong information? You can find it with that. But Max will tell you more about that.
Okay. So let me just quickly come back to what we have actually done. So we offer a procedure that allows you to explore properties in Wikidata and the implicational knowledge that holds between these properties. The key idea is here that when you look at these implications that you get, well, there might be some that you don't actually want because they shouldn't be true. And there might also be ones that you don't get but you expect to get because they should hold. And these unwanted and or missing implications, they point to missing statements and items in Wikidata. So they show you where the opportunities to improve the knowledge in Wikidata are. And well, sometimes you also get to learn something about the world, and in most cases it's that the world is more complicated than you thought it was, and that's just how life is. But in general, well, implications can guide you in your way of improving Wikidata and the state of knowledge therein. So what's next? So what we currently don't offer in the exploration game, and what we definitely will focus next on, is having configurable counterexamples and also filterable counterexamples. Right now you just get a list of a random number of counterexamples, and well, you might want to search through this list for something you recognize, and you might also want to explicitly say, well, this one should be a counterexample, and that's definitely coming next. Then, domain-specific scaling of properties, there's still much work to be done. Currently, we only have some very basic support for that, so you can have properties, but you can't do the fancy things where you say, well, everything that is an award should be considered as one instance of this property. That's also coming. And then what Tom mentioned already, well, compare your knowledge that you have explored through this process against the knowledge that is currently on Wikidata as a form of seeing, well, where do you stand? What is missing in Wikidata? How can you improve Wikidata? And, well, if you have any more suggestions for features, then just tell us. There's a GitHub link on the implication game page, and here's the link to the tool again. So just let us know, open an issue, and have fun. And if you have any questions, then I guess now would be the time to ask.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom and Max. So we will switch microphones now, because then I can hand this microphone to you if any of you have a question for our two speakers. Are there any questions or suggestions? Yes.
Hi, thanks for the nice talk. I wanted to ask, what's the first question, what's the most interesting implication that you've found?
No backup slide.
Yeah, that would have made for a good backup slide. The most interesting implication so far.
Most basic thing you would expect, everything that is launched in space by humans, everything that landed from space, which has a landing date, also has a start date. So nothing landed on Earth which was not started here.
Yes.
Right now the game only helps you find out implications. Are you also planning to have where I can also add data? Like, for example, let's say I have 25 Nobel laureates who don't have a Nobel laureate ID. Is there plans where you can give me a simple interface for me to Google and add that ID? Because it would make the process of adding new entities to Wikidata itself more simple?
Yes, and that's partly hidden behind this configurable and federal counterexamples thing. We will probably not have an explicit interface for adding stuff, but most likely interface with some other tool built around Wikidata. So probably something that will give you quick statements or something like that. But yes, so adding data is definitely on the roadmap.
Any more questions? Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice to do this in other languages too?
Actually, it's a language independent. So we use Wikidata, and then as far as we know, Wikidata has no language itself. You know, it has just items and properties, so queues and P's. And whatever language you use, it should be translated in the language of the properties if there is a label for that property or for that item that you have. So if Wikidata is aware of your language, we are.
Oh, yes. More.
And of course, the tool still needs to be translated, but that is
supported. It itself, it should be.
Hi, thanks for the talk. Thanks. I have a question. Right now, you only can find missing data with this, right? Or surplus data. Would you think it would be able to find wrong information with a similar approach?
Actually, we do. I mean, if Wikidata has a counterexample to something we would expect to be true, this could point to wrong data, right? If the counterexample is a wrong counterexample, if there is a missing property or a missing property to an item.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I get to ask a second question. the horizontal axis in the incidence matrix, you said it has 7,000, it spans 7,000 columns, right?
Yes, or would. Because there are 7,000 properties in Wikidata.
But it's actually way more columns, right? Because you multiply the properties times the arguments, right?
Yes. So if you do any scaling, then of course that will give you multiple entries per.
So that's
per
what you mean with scaling, basically.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
As you can see here,
already 7,000 is way too big to actually compute that.
How many would it be if you multiply all the arguments?
I have no idea. Probably a few million.
Have you thought about a recursive method as counterexamples may be wrong by other counterexamples, like an argumentative graph or something like this?
Actually, I don't get it. How can be a counterexample be wrong through another counterexample?
Maybe some example says that cats can have golden hair, and then another example might say that this is not a cat.
So the property to be a cat or something catish is missing, then okay. No, we have not considered so far deeper reasoning. So far, this horn propositional logic, you know, it has no contradictions, because all you can do is you can contradict by counterexample, but there can never be a rule that is not true so far. Just in your or my opinion, maybe, but not in the logic. So, but we have to think about it, that we have bigger reasoning, right? So.
Sorry, quick question. So because you're not considering all the 7,000 odd properties for each of the entities, right? What's your current process of filtering? What are the relevant properties? I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
We basically handpick those. So you have this input field here where you can go ahead and select your properties. We also have some predefined sets. Okay. And there's also some classes for groups of properties that are related that you could use if you want bigger sets.
For example, space or family, or what was the other?
Awards is one, yeah.
It depends on the size of the class. For example, for space, it's not that much. It's like 10 or 15 properties. It will take you some hours, but you can do. Because 15 or something like that. I think for family, it's way too much. It's like 40 or 50 properties. So a lot of questions.
I don't see any more hands. Maybe someone who has not asked a question yet has another one. We could take that.
otherwise we would be perfectly on time, and maybe you can tell us where you will be for deeper discussions, where people can find you.
Probably at the couches.
The couches behind our
yes,
stage?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Or just running around somewhere. So there's also our deck numbers on the slides here. It's 6284 for Tom and 6279 for me. So just call and
we'll
be hanging around.
Thank you again. Have a round of applause.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having us.